Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. 1 Peter 2, 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that like newborn babes, we long for, yearn for, desire the pure spiritual milk of the Word of God, that we might grow up in every way unto God, that we might, like living stones, be built into a spiritual house, and that we might make spiritual sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for a new year, another chance, another opportunity to bear fruit for God. We thank you for what's gone before. We thank you for everything. We regret nothing. Even that which was astray and negative and dark, we learned. We're better, we're more knowledgeable now. And we thank you, Lord, for all of it. And we give you praise that you can redeem even that which we have done amiss. You not only forgive, but you take the garbage, you take that which was refuse, you take that which was thrown away, and bring something good out of it. And so we just thank you, Lord God, that a new year has begun, a clean slate, something good, something wonderful, something exciting. And we long for that word in Jesus' holy and wonderful name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. You ready for a new year? Okay. How many would like to know God better in 1984? Praise God, it's just about everybody. How many would like to be holier? You'd like to have a holier life, more humility, more just purity. Yeah, about half. That's good. How many would like to be more fruitful? That is, wise, loving, powerful, able to accomplish great exploits for God. And finally, how many would like to be able to see the body of Christ come together in greater unity and power? Praise the Lord. You know, all those things are promised of God, but you cannot resolve to do one of them. You cannot resolve to know God. You cannot resolve to be holy. You cannot make an act of will and say, I will be fruitful. You cannot resolve to bring about the body of Christ. There's only one thing you can resolve to do. And those four things will come if you do that one thing. What is the one thing needful? It is you can resolve to read the Word of God. If you will read the Word of God on a regular, daily basis, those other things will happen. You'll know the Lord. And holiness will come from knowing the Lord. And out of that will come fruit, because out of an inner holiness comes outer fruit. And out of that will come the body of Christ coming together. Do you see that? That's simple, isn't it? If you pray, oh God, make me holy, it won't work. If you pray, oh Lord, I'd like to see the body come together, it won't. If you pray, Lord, I want to know you, you won't. So all of those things cannot be done unless you do the one thing needful. Those are fruits of the Word of God. That is a work of God. All those things are works of God. That is a work of the Word. The Word works. How many know that the Word of God, has power? You don't have power. The Word has power. If you will eat the Word, you will have power. If you will get this Word into you, and there's no other way, you can't do it by prayer. Oh, sincerely, God, I pray that I'll be holier. It won't work. Oh, God, I want to really know you. You'll just turn into a mystic. God, I'm going to do great things for you. You'll just be a legalist. You cannot do this any other way but let the Word do it all. The Word has already accomplished it. Just eat it. As you eat this Word, as you chew this Word day after day, there's one thing you can resolve to do. I will read the Word of God by an act of will based on my faith. I will read the Word of God daily. I will read the Word of God daily. Do you know you cannot make this Word come alive to you? You can't make the Word come alive. But you can pray as you read the Word that God will give you wisdom through the Holy Spirit to interpret this Word so that it becomes not a general word, but a rhema. Because everything that we do should come out of rhema. Rhema is a Greek word which means the living word. It's a present now word that says not just God so loved the world, but God loves me. For God so loved the world, that's a general word. That's a truth, a general truth. But it doesn't mean anything till I hear it say, for God so loved Jim. Oh, Jim. You know, and suddenly that makes a change in me. I begin to know the Lord. I begin to be purified. I begin to bear fruit, and I begin to see the body come together. I begin to see Satan overthrown. We have authority through the Word. There's no other way to get authority. Just because you're born again, you don't have authority. Just because you're born again, you have it, but you won't use it. You can't use it. You can't release it until the Word opens that up. Because you might think with your authority, ceiling, turn green. It won't do it. As a Christian, I say, I can do all things, turn green. How many have tried to do a lot of ridiculous things that you thought might have been of God, but they weren't? And the way you know is because they didn't happen. You know, that's how you know. Now, that was not of God. The only thing that's of God is to do God's thing in God's time, in God's way. Amen. You must know, first of all, the will of God, what it is. Then you must know when to do it, and then you must know how to do it. And we find that it's easiest to find out what to do, but very hard to find out when. And most difficult to find out how. So you have to tarry long in the Word. In the Word. How many know that prayer is based totally upon the Word? You don't know how to pray unless you know the Word. Unless you're reading the Word, you don't know how to pray. So this is a very simple thing, 1, 2, 3, that you can do this year. First of all, the first thing to do is take your Bible, open it up, and pray this little prayer. Pray something like this. God, I don't know how to read this Word, either privately or with my family. But I pray that your Holy Spirit will now give me wisdom, insight, and understanding into this Word. Simple prayer like that. I need wisdom. You can pray for wisdom. I need understanding. I need insight. I want to know how to understand, how to rightly divide, how to understand this Word. And I cannot do it by my mind. I must have the Spirit revealing to me these truths. Open the Word to me. Otherwise, I'll read it and I'll misread it. Otherwise, I'll read it and I'll misread it. But I want to understand this Word, so you pray this simple prayer. Open your Bible. Number two, after praying that prayer, read it. Number three, this is the last thing, pray back to God what you've just read. That's simple. One, pray. Two, read. Three, pray. The first time you pray, help me understand it. Second, read it. Third, begin to pray that back to the Lord. Now, that's simple, and that's why we've produced for you a reading list that will take you through the entire Bible in 1 year. How many have ever read the Bible one time all the way through? Very good. Quite a few, maybe even more than half. How many have read it, let's say, more than once? So, very good group. That's amazing. That really is. Praise the Lord. I'm kind of amazed. That's exciting. Because the more Word that you've put in you, you'd be surprised. You might think you don't remember all that you read, or you certainly don't understand it. But if it's there, if it's hidden away, it will come forth at the right time. And you see, you never forget anything. You may, with your mind, you may forget something, but it's still there. It's there for the Holy Spirit to call it up. But by reading it and hiding that Word in our heart, as Psalm 119 says, you know, how does a young man keep his life pure? How do you get holiness? How do you get purity? Hide the Word in your heart. You've got to hide that Word. Now, that doesn't mean just read it and just sort of have read it through. But it does mean to meditate on it. You can't meditate unless it's inside of you, unless you begin to sing it and say it and walk it and talk it and so on and so forth. All right, so three simple things. One, pray a simple prayer. God, help me to understand this. Number two, read it. Just simply read it. This is the greatest need, is on a daily basis to read portions of the Word. A lot of times we get these little promise box. That's wonderful, because you learn promises. But that's kind of like snacks. That's not exactly getting enough Word in you. You can meditate on those words. But you really need to read through the Scriptures, the whole Bible, several times and in your life. And then you can meditate on it. Unless you have a picture of the whole, you cannot understand the part. Unless you understand the part, you cannot understand the whole. So both must happen together. All right. Look what Peter says here. As newborn babes, these are brand new babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Now the word in the Greek for desire really means, and if you picture the babe, you can get this. It means long with everything you've got. It isn't just, I would like to have that. No, this one is so desperate that it's like, I couldn't breathe if I don't have it. You know how little babies are when they don't get fed? You know how they go? You know, they just really let the whole household know that you've got to attend to me right now. You know, that's what it says. Desire the sincere milk of the Word. Desire it. That is, with everything you've got, oh, that I could read the Word today. What a blessing to wake up every day and have the privilege to read that Word. Just to take that in. Every day, just to take that in. Now it says, as newborn babes, just like you were a newborn babe, long for, yearn for, that pure spiritual milk. Now the word for sincere is adolos. That word means without guile. So it's without guile, or it means, in milk terms, it would mean without any mixture in it. Get the pure milk. Get the guileless. Guile would mean without any addition, any mixture, any foreign matter. Don't let this formula be impure. You know, a lot of mothers today use formula. Well, you know, the formula may be off. So many times as Christians, especially as young Christians, we get bad formula. And then we get colic and stuff like that, you know, spiritual colic. You know what I mean? Hello. And you know, we lay awake all night and we're depressed and it doesn't work right. But you know, if you long for the pure spiritual milk, unmixed, rightly divided, that milk which is pure, without any foreign matter, without anything of the flesh in it, you will grow up. You will grow strong, and you will grow healthy like a babe, that ye may grow thereby. As newborn babes, desire the sincere adolos milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. And then it says, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. In other words, you know, you're not going to long for this pure spiritual milk if you think the Lord is not gracious to you. If you think the Lord is a judge who's out to get you, you won't long to read the Word. If you think the Lord is going to get you on page 6, you're not going to read this Word. If you think it's going to be boring when you get to the begats, you won't read the Word. If you think you won't understand it, you're not going to read the Word. If you haven't found this Word to be practical, you won't read the Word. But if you have learned to trust God and to say, boy, when I drink that milk, I feel so good in my tummy. You know, little babies, they're just so content afterward. You know, lay there. You know, they're just so happy. Is that the way you are when you read the Word every time? That's what God says, is long for that pure spiritual milk so that you may be content. And, you know, just your body just starts to grow. You don't grow, you know. You don't grow, you just lay there, content. You just put that Word in and the Word does all the work, doesn't it? Just that milk begins to give you everything that you need to grow strong. So it's simple. You know, a baby doesn't not make any will. I will to grow holy this year, you know. I will know my mother, you know. They don't do any of that. The one thing they do, desire, yearn for, long for the pure spiritual milk of the Word of God. So you see, the Word does everything. The reason that people are not stronger than they are, the reason they don't have more authority, the reason they don't get healed, the reason that they're confused, the reason that they're depressed, the reason for everything is the Word of God. It's all in the Word. Everything is a fruit of the Word of God. Everything. The reason that Jesus was powerful, the reason that he was holy, the reason that he could release the power of God was because he knew the Word. When he spoke, he said what was written. He spoke what was written. It is written. And he had authority. He had power. He said, I never do anything. John 5, verse 19, and then again in verse 30. I never do anything except the Father shows me what to do. I never do anything on my own authority. Everything I do is authorized by the author of life, God. So that means the Word. That means the Word. That means the Word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by pantalogos, every word that proceedeth constantly, continually, out of the mouth of God. That's life. Zoe. That's life. That's life. Life! I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. That comes from reading the Word. It does not come from being spiritual. You know, there is no such thing as being spiritual. The reason that I'm spiritual is because I read the Word of God. That's all. It's just in the Word. There's nothing mystical. Oh, God. You know, it's not like that. Now, I'm not saying you can't have experiences like that. All I'm saying is they are just simply fruits of knowing the Word. And if you have such an experience of God and you do not know the Word, then that experience will soon destroy you. I'll say that again. If you have some great experience, when I was four, I really had a touch from God. It won't help you. Fine, you had a touch from God. I had a vision, I had a dream. It doesn't matter. Don't be puffed up with such things, the Bible says. The only thing that matters is to know the Word of God. That's the foundation, that's the basement. That's everything, is to know the Word. It's not so fancy, is it? It's so simple. So there's no big secret to Christianity except knowing the Word. Now remember, you have to pray that the Holy Spirit will reveal the meaning of that word to you. Otherwise, you will read it and you will come off legalistic. You will come off mystical. You will come off ignorant. You will come off not rightly dividing the Word. You'll come off depressed. But the Word has come to us to bring us life. If you don't get life, you haven't got the Word. The Word has come to you to bring you authority. If you don't have authority, you have not read the Word. You do not know the Word. So the Word only has good news. If you ever read anything negative in the Word, you have not read the Word. If you read, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees," and you say, "I believe that's me," you've misread the Word. You have misread it. But if you hear, "Blessed," that's me. If you take all the good in the Bible and apply it to yourself, you have read the Word correctly. If you take all the negative and apply it to your old man, you have read the Word correctly. The old man, where is he? He's dead. Reckon yourselves dead unto sin and alive unto Christ. Alive unto God in Christ Jesus. Hey, that's us. Everything in the Bible is good news, isn't it? There is no bad news in the Bible. None. Even that which appears to be negative becomes positive in the light of the gospel. Becomes positive in the light when the Word is rightly divided. I'll divide it real simple. That's not a big tricky thing. How do you rightly divide the Word? Simple. Everything in here is good news for me. That's simple, isn't it? I make everything turn out good news. You say, "That is really too easy." No, that's not easy. You try it. try to make that. But that's what you must do. Make everything come out good for you. If you do, you have read the Bible correctly. Isn't that amazing? It sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? Doesn't it? It does. But it isn't too good to be true. It's exactly why Jesus came, why they killed him. It was too full of good news. Do you know the world is not used to good news? You think people really hunger for good news? No. They like to hear that other stuff, you know? And it weighs them down and it feels more right, you know? It seems to fit better. That's why they'll sit in front of the TV, you know, hour after hour and watch that stuff. It's good. You know, why would they do that? I can't stand it, you know? Watch a little bit of it, you know, you want to be with God. You know, you can't sit there and drink that stuff in all the time. You want to go and pray, do something about it. Change things, not just receive all that negative stuff. Otherwise, it will depress you. It will make you sick. It will discourage you. It'll just take all your confidence away. Hello? Amen. That's true. All right. Now, so Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Are you free? Are you free from fear? Are you free from pride? Are you free from anger? Are you free from depression? Are you free from sickness? Are you free from poverty? Are you free from ignorance? Are you free? Are you free from the devil and hell and this world? Are you free? Are you free to bear fruit for God? Are you free to love? Are you free to rejoice? Are you free to be kind? Are you free? There's a secret. Continue in my word. Then you'll know the truth. Obviously, then the truth is a gradual knowing. If you continue, that is, keep going. Don't just start. Not he who begins, but he who endures to the end. And that's not a depressing thing. That's not depressing. Somebody say, endure to the end. I made it. Praise God, I just barely made it, but I made it. You know, that's not what it means. It means endure to the end with great excitement and joy. That's what it means. It doesn't mean just barely to hang in. God, open the door, wait. I'm in. You know, what it means going home with victory, enduring to the end that way. You know how you start out with, you know, the football team is all excited, we'll win, you know, Dallas, and, you know, then at the end, you know, goes, it means all the way, never give up, never quit till the last. Amen. Never give up. Never lose that initial, everybody in the locker room is all enthusiastic, you know, but after the game, you know, goes on, people get down. No, never give up. It says to the end, I win, we win. Do you know that you always win? Do you know why you always win? Because you've already won. You always win because you've already won. You know, everything is finished in the Word. It's in the Word. It's finished. In life, it isn't finished. That's why you've got to eat the Word to watch the thing finish out. You've got to eat this Word day after day in order to get finished. It won't just finish if you don't eat the Word. Some kind of sovereignty of God thing. There's too much Calvinistic sovereignty of God in our theology. Hello? Now, what I'm saying is this. For a lot of people, they don't want to make the Word work. They just say, the Word will work on its own. No, no, no. No. Because all the power is in the Word, but watch what's in the Word. What's in the Word? Me. Therefore, if I don't cooperate with the Word, then I haven't understood the Word. Because the Word includes me. I'm in the Word. My name is in there. Do you see that? So therefore, I'm not waiting on the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God is part of me. I'm part of the sovereignty of God. In other words, I bring to pass what's already finished. I can't just say, well, the man upstairs, he'll take care of everything. That's the typical view of most people is, well, God's been good to me, you know, praise God. The man upstairs has been watching over me. That's not the Bible. That's not the Bible. The Bible is you speak it. You bring it into being. You read the Word. You see? Then you will bear fruit. Then you will know God. Then you will be holy. Then you will help to see the body of Christ come about. Jesus is not going to bring about the body of Christ. He is not going to make you holy. He's already done it in the Word, and He wants you to eat the Word so you can watch it come to pass also. He didn't do it for you. What did He do for you? He saved you, accomplished everything, put it in the Word. Now you must eat it and bring it to pass. Do you see that? That's why there's a part for God to do and a part for you to do. You aren't saved by works. You're saved by what He did through the blood of Jesus. But what He did was more than just saving you and taking you to heaven. It was making heaven come down to earth now. Now you've got to do that part. God won't just do it. Yes, He does rain on the just and the unjust. If you do nothing, there'll still be blessings. But somebody has prayed those into being. Somebody is praying somewhere in the world. That's why these things are happening. It's written in the Word. And that Word is going to come to pass, but it's waiting upon people to believe it and then bring it to pass through their words, through their prayers, through their lives. Do you see that? So, God is not going to put the devil down. We put the devil down. You see that? Now, that's my part. I'm not waiting on the sovereignty of God because the sovereignty of God is me. You know, He's put all His sovereignty, you see, down here to inspire me now to do my part. Now, of course, I don't do it all. But I do what's already been done. When I read in here, it says, I was crucified with Christ. I scratch my head and I say, I'm not even crucified, let alone with Christ. He said, you were crucified with Christ. So my head has to go bing, bing, you know, it doesn't understand that. So I hit the head. You understand this. Give me insight, understanding, wisdom. So I begin to understand, oh, I'm already dead. I'm alive. I'm already dead and resurrected. I don't understand that. So my mind just goes wacky. But the Bible gives me a new mind, a new kind of mind, the mind that was in Christ Jesus. Now I got a new mind. I begin to understand that. All I need to understand is that it says it. And then I begin to operate with that new mind. I don't understand exactly how it works, but I know it's there and I start to work it. And I say, oh, I've been dead to sin. So that means when sin comes up, that's my old man 2,000 years ago, dead. So I just say, whenever I feel lustful, whenever I feel greedy, whenever I feel proud, whenever I feel envious, that's about every day, then I just simply say, no, that's not me. And whenever I think, I wish I were more loving, more kind, more, then I say, no, I don't have to wish it, that's me. And the more I say that, and the more I think that, and the more I walk in that, the more it becomes true. That's the Word. That's the power of the Word. That's just speaking the Word. That's just, it is written, it is written, it is written, it is written, it is written. That's why Jesus could defeat the devil. We have authority with God. authority over the devil and authority to bless this earth. We have authority with God. Jesus said, don't rejoice that you have authority over the devil. He said, rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, that's exciting. I have authority with God. I can come into God's presence with boldness and say, hi, Dad. Did you know I could do that? And he won't reject me?
Please say, Father.
You know, he won't do that. I can come in as I am because of the blood of Jesus. I pull out the blood. I say, look, I got blood on me. He said, okay, it's okay. Get up here. Come here. And he just hug you. See? He just love you. I'm that way with my kids. They say a lot of silly things, you know, but I just excuse it. I forget it because of love. You see? Because of love. So I have authority to say to God, do this. Did you know that? I can say to God, do this. Did you know you could tell God what to do? Hello? That's why you don't know so much. You haven't read the book. God wants you to put him to the test. God wants you to order angels around and walk over devils and, you know, and ask him things and proclaim things and chase mountains away and stuff. Did you know that God wants you to do that? He loves it. You know, like the persistent woman that was before the judge, God says, that's a good picture of me. If you keep persisting, keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on seeking, I'll open, I'll give, but I'm going to wait to see if you're serious about it. What do you want? You know, you say, I want this and I want that. He'll see if you're really serious. If you just ask one time and walk away, he says, that person didn't even believe the word. But if you don't quit, you say, God, heal me, and you're not healed, then you just quit.
Well, I prayed 6 times.
Yeah, pray 80 times, 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times. What's the difference? Pray until the word comes to pass. Amen? Amen. This word cannot lie. I don't understand it. Who needs to understand it? All we need to understand is it's true. Try it. You shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The only words that will come to pass, the only words that I can tell God are those that he's already told me that I can tell him. But he has told me I can tell him some things. Did you know that? He has given me authority. He says, Jesus said, I give you all authority over all the power of the enemy. Somebody says, I'm afraid of Satan. Man, I'm afraid. You know, somebody might put a hex on me. Or, you know, if I go forward 1 step, Satan will knock me back 2 steps. You know, so I'm going to just go a half a step. You know, a lot of people think that way. Satan is nothing, 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 nothing. There's nobody in all this world that can put a hex on me. Did you know that? Let me say, some guy is conjuring something on you. Don't you believe in demonic powers? Sure I do, but they don't touch me. Who do they touch? Someone who doesn't think right. I think right. How do I think? I think according to the Bible. My mind is washed clean by the Word. You see? So there's no way the devil can get into Eve except through her mind. And he can't get into me except through my mind. He can't sneak up like I'm sleeping and he'll sneak up on me. Ah! Put something on me. You see? Because I got my mind. Do you see that? He's got to try to put a suggestion in my mind to lead me astray so he can get a hold of me. That's why I want to renew my mind every day. I want to renew my mind, get into the Word. And as I learn the Word and I learn to speak that Word, then I can do exploits for God. Now, it's real simple. It goes like this. It's all in order. It's in order. Learn this order. I wish I didn't have to teach this over and over again. I wish you could learn this order. If you read the Word, 4 fruits will happen. Say that. 4 fruits. If I read the Word, 4 fruits will happen. Here's the first fruit. To know God. Know God. Say that. That's a fruit. You don't have to pray about that. That's just going to happen as a byproduct of reading the Word. That will happen as the rhema comes forth. The first rhema you're going to get is not about being a missionary to China. It's going to be about knowing God, that God loves you. That's the first rhema in the Word, is God loves you. God shouts it from every page in the Bible. I love you. I love you. I love you. He's always saying that. Have you heard that? I don't feel very loved. Well, it doesn't matter if you feel it. God says, I love you. Believe. Well, I don't feel loved. That doesn't matter. Hear him. I love you. All right, that's the first revelation that's going to come as you start to read the book. It may take you a while. It may take you a year. It may take, I don't care how long it takes you. Just keep reading until you hear that. That's the first revelation. You will never grow in holiness until you know God loves you. You will never grow in power until you know God's love you. You will never see the body of Christ come together until they know that God loves them. Love is the basis. But his highest love is to give you this word. What a loving thing. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And Jesus spoke the words, and he said, a wise man is he that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them. And he said, this is the work of God, that you believe. This is the work of God, John 6, 29. That you believe. So faith is everything. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11, 6. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the rhema, the live word, the living word, of God. So everything is through the word of God. That's how I grow. Do you know why the people today are not healthier, wealthier, stronger, as powerful as the New Testament church? They don't know the word. They don't know the word. It's not only because the ministers are not preaching it. That's true too, but that's not the biggest thing. The biggest thing is you can do it all on your own. You can learn this word on your own. You can buy these things. You can buy them. You know, in the Middle Ages, they didn't have one of these things except in a cathedral somewhere, chained to a pillar somewhere so you couldn't steal that thing. Well, that's right. You know, and you had this, and the common person couldn't even go in. And even if he did, it wouldn't have done him any good. It's written in Latin. Proboscomicub, you know, you can't read all that. Joe, you could have read it, but, you know, most of us would, you know, we wouldn't know how to read it. It's written in some strange tongue. But you know that we have hundreds of these things. I've seen up to 100 Bibles sometimes in some stores, you know. You can buy them for money. How many own a Bible here? Praise God. Then you know what I'm talking about. All right? Read it. Stop waiting on the pastor. I could never, if I had 100 years, I couldn't preach to you enough to teach you all this in this word. There's no way. You know, even if we preached every day. You need to read it yourself. You need to grow yourself. You need to get into this yourself. So God wants to teach you the knowledge of God, holiness, and fruitfulness. The knowledge of God, that's the first fruit. The second one, holiness. When you know God, you'll be holy. That's all. Simple as that. Anyone who knows God is holy. Right. As soon as you know God, you'll be holy. You don't have to pray for holiness. Oh God, make me holy. You don't have to. Just look at Him. Beholding Him, we are changed from one degree of glory to another. As in a mirror, as in a glass, we are changed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory, to another degree of glory, to another degree. Just by looking at God, just by reading the Word and what He has done, and knowing the Lord that's in this Word, I'm changed. I'm not changed by saying, oh, I don't want to lust anymore. I don't want to be greedy anymore. I don't want to be selfish anymore. I wish I weren't so critical. Yeah, that won't do any good. Wish all you want. Pray all you want. It won't do any good. None, 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 not at all. It'll only produce legalism at worst. And rebellion at best. You cannot do this. The only thing you can do is look at God. You just look at God, it's all done. You see His smiling face, it's all over with. And the more you look at His smiling face, it transforms you. It's not the law of Moses. You know, be perfect. You know, that's kind of scary. For most of us. Not being pastors, most of you couldn't be perfect. So it'd be kind of scary. Don't be afraid of the word. When it says, be ye perfect, that's not a law to scare you. That's a description of your new man in Christ. Amen. It's really saying, you shall be perfect. You shall be holy, for I am holy. It isn't saying, you shall be holy, for I am holy. It isn't saying it like that. It's saying, you shall be holy, for I am holy. In other words, I'm going to give my holiness to you. If you just eat the word, if you just read the word, if you spend some time with me, if you just have some fellowship with me, I'll give you everything. I'll give you holiness as a gift. And then you'll be fruitful. You'll be able to do exploits for God. You'll have wisdom. You'll have knowledge. You'll have power. You'll have everything. And then the body of Christ will come together. And the world will then know that you're my disciples. They don't know because you're holy. They don't know because you're fruitful. The only way they know is when the body of Christ comes together and loves one another. That's how they know. They don't know just because you become a very holy saint. That won't do any good. If we produce a lot of individual saints, that's still not it. That's not it. That's just a fruit of the Word of God. What we want is for the saints to love one another. That's the toughest one of all. You know, to get Christians to love one another. You know why? You know why Christians don't love one another? Why do you think? Why do you think Christians don't love one another? Yeah, because they don't know the Lord. And if they knew the Lord and they were holy, they'd be pure, they'd be humble. Because that's what holiness is. Holiness is really humility. Holiness is really humility. Holiness is humility. Humility means not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to. And that means being separate unto God. Humility means, this is humility. Humility means coming under the Word of God. That's all it means. Humility means running your life according to the Word of God. It doesn't mean being perfect, because I can still make a sin. But I got something in the Word up here. What does it say? I forgive you. Oh, good. See, that's okay. I got a good word for that. There's a word for everything. Everything. He's got mercy when I sin. He's got power when I'm weak. Everything is here. Everything is in the Word. Unless you know the Word. So don't rely on pastors. Don't rely on sermons. Don't rely on teachers. Don't rely on tapes. Those are all meant to help you. By the way, if you will do this on your own, then my sermons will be powerful. You will really think I'm an amazing preacher. Because you will be reading things and you will realize this man has terrific insight. You'll think that. Because the very thing you were reading, I'll speak on. And you'll wonder, how does this man know so much? I don't. I just read the Word. The Holy Spirit will give me the right word. If you were reading in the Word, you would know exactly what I was going to preach every Sunday. How many can testify that you know that that's true? Because, you see, when you get into the Word, it's an amazing thing. Out of all the things that are possible to preach on, God knows exactly where you are. And I don't know. I don't have some kind of prescribed formula. All I do is I go and I get before the Lord and I begin to pray. I begin to read the Word. I don't know what I'm going to preach on, what I'm going to teach. I don't have any idea. I have no idea. None. And I don't just take the first thought that comes to my mind. I have to pray and I wrestle through and so on and so forth. And I still don't know until the Holy Spirit puts it into my heart and says, that's it. This is the way you'll do it and so on and so forth. And, you know, the scriptures just begin to flood in. I begin to see exactly what it is God's doing. But you must be in the Word to know that. So holiness, you cannot resolve to do it. New Year's resolution, I resolve to be holier this year. Don't do it. I resolve to know God better. Don't do it. I resolve to be more fruitful. Don't do it. I resolve to do everything in my power to bring the body of Christ together. Don't do it. Do one thing. Resolve to read the Word of God. Do one thing. Resolve to read the Word. Take this little piece of paper, wherever it is. This piece of paper. Every day, 3 chapters, Genesis 1 through 3. That's simple. 3 to 4 chapters a day. If you read 3 to 4 chapters a day, in a year, you'll be finished with the whole Bible. Did you know that's not too much, is it? Even if it is too much, do it anyway. this is not an option. I mean, the list is. But it's not an option. If you're going to grow and know God, there's no other way. Now you say, why is it necessary? I suppose it's not. It's not necessary. It's just a luxury if things remain as they are. But things are not going to remain as they are. You're going to see this world will demand it. It's not because I'm going to preach it into being or anything else. It's just going to happen. God's going to back up what I'm telling you. Things are going to happen in history, in this world, in the political, social, and economic realms, in the religious realms. They're going to make it so critical that you know the Lord, that you're holy, that you begin to bear fruit for God, and you see the body of Christ come together, that it will happen among those that have chewed the Word, that have eaten the Word, that have gotten into the Word. But if you don't, if you're still relying on TV preachers or on some minister on Sunday morning to feed you everything, you see, I'm giving you pure spiritual milk, which is what? Desire the Word of God. Just teach you the Word rightly divided. But you have to grow on your own. You see, only for babies, we give it to them, but then you have to grow on your own. Then you get up and do things. Like, you have to forgive one another, and you have to sing, and you have to rejoice, and you have to dance. You can't wait for some inspiration. Okay, God, go ahead, inspire me. I don't feel too inspired, so I guess I won't rejoice right now. You know, I'm not going to speak in tongues. No, no tongue. No, I guess there's none there. You know, you can't wait. Okay, God, go ahead, heal me. Go ahead. No, I guess he's not going to do it. You know, that's silly. You've got to act in faith. You've got to step out in faith. You've got to, and if it doesn't work, read the Word again. Read the Word again. Get into the Word again, because it will work. You just haven't read enough Word. You haven't known the Lord enough. You're not holy enough. You haven't borne enough fruit. Something is wrong, but find out in the Word. Get back into the Word. Eventually, you'll understand all things. This people must be a people of the Word. A New Testament church is a church of the Word. It has to be a church where the people are powerful, where not just the minister knows the Word, but everybody in the church, everybody, is so strong that the enemy doesn't know who to get, you know? But right now it's so easy, he just tries to get me all the time. And I'm getting all the fun. I'm having all the blessings, you know? Satan wants to try to destroy me. He can't do it. I enjoy it. Why? I love fun. I love wars, don't you? I'm a warrior. Isn't Jesus building an army? You know, what if the general were afraid? You know, I love them, you know? They're impossible. I love impossible situations. Why? Because that's the only kind of God we've got, is the God that does the impossible. If it were possible, who wants to do it? Let's go do something else. The only reason we're into this is because this is not possible with man. This is impossible. This is wholly a gift of God. This is something miraculous. This is something the world can never do. That's why we win. In the end, the world will be shaken and fall apart. But we will be left. That's why we will be the meek that inherit the earth. Meek means being under the authority of the Word of God. That's all. It means humbling yourself under the Word of God. We are those of the Word. The heavens and the earth will pass away, but my Word will endure forever, the Bible says. My Word will endure forever. I want to eat that eternal Word. You see? Then I'll know the eternal God. Then I'll be eternally holy. You see? Love endures forever, isn't it? That's what holiness is, nothing but love. So, what are the three fruits, the four fruits? What's the first fruit of reading the Word? Know God. What's the second fruit? Being holy. What's the third fruit? Being fruitful. Holiness, you don't have to necessarily say it this way, but I'm using the word this way. Holiness, I'm saying, is inner. Fruitfulness, I'm saying, is outer. But it could be the same thing. Holiness can refer to both. And fruitfulness can refer to both. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. That's holiness. Holiness is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, and all that. All right. Now, inner and outer. So those are two kinds of fruits. But if you have the inner, you'll have the outer. But if you don't have the inner, you can only fake the outer. And that's legalism. And if you don't know God, if you don't read the Word, you can still try to know God. That's mysticism. Mysticism is where people try, apart from the Word, to know God, to have experiences with God. It's a perversion. God does not want to be known except through the manger, except through the Word, except through this humble way of getting into the Word and studying it. Study to show thyself approved. 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 3:15, one chapter later, also talks about knowing that Word. Because the Word is the secret to everything. Paul knows that. And he says, Timothy, you know, you have learned this Word from your youth up. You have learned this Word, which is able to do what? It's able to give you correction. It's able to teach doctrine. It's able to bring forth righteousness, correction, reproof. It does everything. This Word does everything. It does everything. All you do is study the Word. So, how are you going to know the Word? Read it. All you have to do is read it. If you will read it faithfully, God will turn it into rhema. That's your prayer, is, God, give me insight, understanding. That's what it means, is turning it from general words that are just on the page, letter, into living Word. And the Holy Spirit will do that if you're born again. You have to be born again, of course. But I'm talking to Christians. Read this Word every day. It'll produce knowledge of God. It'll produce holiness in your life. It will produce fruitfulness in your life. And finally, it'll bring the body of Christ together. We're not going to come together on doctrine or, you know, all these ecumenical movements or charismatic bringing all these Christians together. It won't work. You can't get together on anything. Nothing will ever be got together on. The only thing is, do this. Know the Lord. Be holy. Be fruitful. And God will miraculously, some surprising way, bring things together. This is what God wants to do. So, in Isaiah, I'm going to close with this. Isaiah, it said, in the 55th chapter, verse 11, it said, so shall my word be, which goes forth out of my mouth. It shall accomplish everything I purpose. Now, the Word is alive. You are not alive. The only reason you're alive is because you have the Word in you. That is life. There is no life in man. The life is in the blood. The life is in the Word. You didn't have any blood either. The blood comes through the Word. You wouldn't even know about the blood of Jesus except the Word. We haven't seen any blood lately. You know, nobody has a little bottle of it. You can't get to it. Everything that we have is through the Word. Isn't that precious? It's so simple. It's something that even children, that's why he said to Timothy, he says, from your youth up, you have read the Word. You've studied the Word. Study to show thyself approved. Don't be so lazy. Our people need to be knowledgeable. Now, you can learn the Word of God. I want you to learn the whole Word of God. And it's important to teach you not everything all over the place, but in correct order. So that joy is correctly taught with holiness, is correctly taught with the knowledge of God, is correctly taught with fruit. You know, excuse me. Every part of the Word has to be taught at the right time. This takes wisdom. How to know how to do it. But God will give us that wisdom. How many believe that? You cannot be perfected apart from apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And so God will provide everything you need, but you must do your part. Otherwise, you don't need the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. They're useless to you. They'll only be a snare to you. But if you will take on the journey yourself and say, God, I don't know about all those people, but I'm just going to study the Word. That's the one thing I'm going to do. Set your mind, set your will, say, I resolve this year, 1984, I will read the Word every day. How many will do that? Stand to your feet. Pray this prayer with me. Father God, I love you, and I know you have given me your word to eat, to feed a that doeth all things, even the word of God, even Jesus being the living word. This written word, which I will read every day, I promise, by the power of God, so help me. This word will bring forth fruit and all good things. I will be blessed and I will be a blessing. I present my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is my reasonable service. I will be renewed in my mind by the washing of the Word, day after day, until I know you, until I'm pure, until I'm fruitful, and until I see the body of Christ come together, standing on the head of the devil, in power, in love, in wisdom, all to the glory of God. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, this is going to be a great year. God is good. Everything comes from this simple thing of just reading the Word. And one of the things I'd suggest that you do as fathers and mothers in the house, if you read the Bible early in the morning, this is the best. But another way to do it is bring it to the table at night. Read it to your children. Read chapter after chapter. Well, let, you know, somehow get these, what are those warmer things called? Ovens? The hot rays? Microwave, yeah. Buy one of those. Put the food in there just to let it warm while you read the Scriptures. Or eat your food first and then read it afterward. But the point is, read it to your family. Let the children, they don't have to understand it. Just be quiet. You know, it's a good way to teach them discipline. Just shut up, just enjoy it. And read the thing to them. Just let them hear it. It goes into their spirit. It's not going into their little minds. Forget their minds for a while. Eventually, their minds will come alive. Take a piece of paper when you do this. Any questions that come up, write them down. And then put them into the office to me and sign your name to them. And I will call you back. I will answer that question for you. It might be a technical question. Might be just a spiritual question, whatever. This is how the body of Christ is going to grow. So this is a very simple way to do it. Do it. The big message today is do it. Set your will to do it. Just do it. And God will do everything. You will see heaven will break open on you. You'll become mighty and powerful. It's such a simple message, but it's so important. It's the foundation. Let's pray. Father God, right now, we're just excited because it's like beginning again. We forget last year what we did, good and bad. Just leave it alone. The good's all marked down. The bad is going to be erased. So we just thank you, Lord God. We're coming home soon. But there's a little bit of work to do before we come home, and we want to do it. We want to be part of that army. We want to be pure as the bride. We want to be strong as the army. We want to be industrious as the laborer. We want to be the bride of Christ. We want to be the army of God. We want to be the building of God. We want to work the fields of God. We want to be laborers in the harvest. And we want to be mighty unto God, to pulling down of strongholds. We want to step on the enemy and laugh, really, right in his face, as you do, Lord God, who holds the enemy in derision. What is there that can come against us? We are the people. And you have given to us the nations. Even as you gave to Jesus, what are we but the body of Christ? How is Christ separate from us? Not at all. Because now Christ is in us. And therefore you have given to him the nations. Therefore it's to us. And even now, Jesus said we would do greater things. And I thank you, Lord God, that we will do in this year greater things in all these areas. The knowledge of God, holiness, fruitfulness, seeing the body come together. In all these ways, seeing the enemy put down because we have done the one thing that we can resolve to do, and it just takes no inspiration, it just simply takes perspiration. We just choose to do it. Just plain, flat, hard work, get up and do it. We're going to read the Word. We're going to set ourselves, set our minds to read the Word, to wash every day in that Word, to eat every day in that Word, to rejoice every day in that Word, to be built up every day in that Word, until we become strong, mighty, powerful. Oh, I thank you, Lord God. This people is going to be strong and mighty unto God because we love you and we love your Word and we love your appearing. And we're looking for the day you'll come back and you'll judge us and your judgment will be well done. Good and faithful servants, enter into the joy of your master because what you've done, you got out of my Word. I told you to do it and you did it. I told you to do it and I gave you the power to do it because you read the Word. And you are in us to strengthen us. I thank you, Lord God, for this glorious day. It's a new year, a year in which we will set our minds and we will see this is going to be one of the most awful years for the kingdom of darkness. They are going to do the most wicked things they can do, but God has a plan, a greater plan. And we just thank you, Lord God, that you will frustrate every move of the enemy. Hallelujah. Everything he seeks to do, it'll be stopped right in its tracks. Things will reverse. Things will turn around. This is going to be a great year for the kingdom of God. The greatest, one of the greatest years that's ever been. Amen. And I just thank you, Lord God, this is a time when we're excited. We're excited because the Word of God is going to come alive in powerful and mighty ways. In Jesus' holy name, and everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Anyone who needs ministry whatsoever, if you need salvation, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we want people to learn to speak in tongues. I want all the elders and deacons to come forward. If you have any kind of sickness, don't go home with that. If you have anything, we believe in God. We believe in miracles. We believe that God is here to answer prayer. We're not fancy people, but we've got the Word in us. We've got the Word in us, and we believe that the Word does all things. So if you have a financial, if anyone here doesn't have enough money, come forward. We really believe that God in 1984 wants every Christian to be out of debt, and he's going to provide the way supernaturally, and to be paying all your bills, giving tithes, making offerings, and have enough left over to throw some parties. That's in the Bible. That's in the Bible. You come forward and God will bless you. Here's Neil. Neil's a testimony of that. Last year, he got out of debt, $7,000 in debt. He's out of debt, wealthy now, giving away money. Praise God. It's exciting. God doesn't want you in debt. You realize this hurts God to have his people to be owing the world money. Healing, blessings, everything. If you're just not strong, you just need encouragement, come forward. We'll chase away fear, doubt, whatever. God wants to give all these things. Come forward. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just extend your hand forward if you'd like to pray with these people right now. Thank you, Jesus.